of discipleship and following with after Jesus, and that some of the sayings that he said to his disciples were hard. That we were to follow in a way that we are, as he says, dying to ourselves. And some of those things are hard to understand. I mean, not so hard to understand, but hard to follow because it requires us to die to self. Put those things that that we want out and begin to follow after Jesus. And those things are hard to do. They're hard to hear because the implications are pretty significant. And so Jesus said to count the cost, that we are to look at what it's really going to cost us before we enter into this. It's not something to be entered into lightly. That being a follower changes your life. And there's life-changing implications to being a follower of Jesus. You can't have obedience without faith, and you can't have faith without obedience. You can't have one without the other. And oftentimes, you know, it's easy to say, well, I have faith, but I'll obey later. I'll believe in Jesus now, but I'll follow later when I've got better things to do now. I'll follow later. But right now, I'll just say I have faith in Him. But that's really not the way the Scripture really talks to us and teaches us. It really says that following is discipleship, is being faithful. And so those things have large implications in our life. So we need to give our whole life to Jesus. And last week we read a passage of Scripture in Mark chapter 10, and I want to read it to you again. And because Beth had a question to me afterwards that I thought, that's a pretty good thing. I probably should say that again. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 28, it says, Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." Jesus told him this story about this man who's having a hard time following, and he says, looks at his disciples and says, "Are you going to follow?" And Peter says, "We've left everything to follow you." And then Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with those things, persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are the first will be last, and the last will be first." And so Beth said, well, does that mean prosperity gospel kind of things? That if we follow after Jesus, He says that He's promising us now all of these things back? And I don't think that's what it's saying. It's not saying that, you know, you give Him $100 and He's going to give you $1,000 tomorrow. I mean, that would be awesome. It might happen to you. But I don't think that that's what He's saying here. What He's saying here is whenever we give up those things, when we die to ourselves, when we give away our brothers and our mothers and our fields and our homes and all of those things for the sake of the gospel, we gain back all of those things in return. A lot of that comes inside the church. Hopefully that means that your family will follow you. But if they do not follow after Jesus like you do, that you have family here, that you have mothers and brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts and fathers, all of that is what you find inside the church, inside God's kingdom. It doesn't mean you give them up and you never have them. It's that you just find it in a different place. Hopefully, though, your family comes with you. But it doesn't always happen that way. So I wanted to make sure, as Beth brought that to my attention, I wasn't saying that you're going to get rich just simply because you decide to follow after Jesus. You might. My guess is if He give you that much money, there's probably something He wants you to do with it. Not just do whatever you feel like. So today, in light of all of this idea of family and it being Mother's Day, I wanted to talk about this idea that there's movement inside the church. And so there's a couple of different places you can look up in your Bibles today. You can look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and John chapter 21. You can put your finger in both those places. We'll be there in just a few minutes. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and John chapter 21. But I read something this week that I want to read to you, and it's shorter than last week. Don't worry. Last week was like a book. Today it's only a paragraph. So it talks about this idea of potential. It says, "The mission Jesus gave us was not just meant to inspire us, nor was it intended to frustrate us. Jesus gave us this mission because He wants us to actually do it. Within each person lies the potential, a potential movement that could change the world. The beginning of such a movement is simple. You're living a life as a Christ follower that is worth reproducing. You will reproduce what you say. You will reproduce what you do. You will reproduce what you do not do. And you will reproduce who you are. Each of us has the ability to catalyze a movement that can accomplish the mission of Jesus. Some of us have the ability to impact 10 people. Some of us have influence over hundreds, while others have the potential to reach thousands. So in all of us in this room, there is potential. There's a potential movement that for the kingdom of God. And that we should then be seeking out what God has called us to do. Who do we have influence over, and who are should we be influencing? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1. I didn't have you look this up because it's only like seven words. But it says this: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So if we begin to think about this idea of being a disciple, following after Jesus, that there's some implications to that for your own life and for those who watch you do that. Paul's saying to those people he's reaching, he's starting all these little churches all over Asia, and he's saying to them, follow after me as I follow after Christ. It's not saying that he's better than them or anything like that, but he's saying, I've been here, I've done this before, just follow my example. And then, because I'm following Jesus. And Jesus did the same thing to his disciples, right? He said to them, follow me. And that didn't mean go into your room and sit down and think about it and wonder what it looks like and do a Bible study on it and wonder how it's all going to come out and then maybe go do it. No, literally they stood up from what they were doing and followed him. Jesus said, follow me. So a movement was started with just a few people, right? These 12 men, plus all the other disciples that actually followed. We know there's at least 70 more that we see in the Scripture and in the Gospels that he would send out. There's this small group of people. In 2,000 years, now you have this global. Billions have been reached for the Gospel. So they started this movement, a movement characterized by dying to self, getting up and following, forsaking all things for the kingdom, and then gaining all things a hundredfold, like we read in chapter 10 of Mark. And you're living a life as a Christ follower that is worth reproducing. So it's what he's called Paul to. And Paul then says, my life is worth reproducing, so reproduce it. So he writes letters back to the people, the churches, and said, here's what's been going on. Let's talk about this. Writes letters to Timothy. He called him his son. Physically wasn't his son, but he called him his son. Here's what you need to do, Timothy. Very personal letters that he would write to Timothy. Here's how to handle this situation. Here's what you need to do. Follow me as I follow Jesus. So your life is then worth reproducing because you are all actually following. You physically got up and are moving with him, with Jesus. And so as parents, and because it's Mother's Day, and I know we're talking to parents and not just mom, there's this idea then, maybe that we as parents, and maybe, and if, even if you don't have children, but you say, hey, this is my church family, you are parenting as an adult. You can call it an aunt if you don't feel like the burden of being called a parent, or an uncle. But we have children running around through here. You have influence over. Is your life worth reproducing? And that's a daunting thought, isn't it? I mean, this idea then, count the cost, because the cost is significant. So your life is worth reproducing. What you do is reproduced. Sometimes, whether you like it or not. Right? I found a little video. Some of you have seen it. It was on Facebook this week. Of what gets reproduced in your life. Maybe sometimes you want it to, sometimes you don't. This is a video from little Silas. Silas and his family moved away three weeks ago. Here's a video for you of Silas learning something from his father. Oh my God. I don't know if Philip sounds like a raptor after he spits, but man, that was pretty funny. So right, you reproduce what they watch, right? I mean, my story is not as funny as that. Patrick thinks it's hilarious when I spit. If I'm holding him and I'm walking across from the church to the house, you know, it's a bad habit if you want to call it that. I'll just spit. And he thinks it's hilarious. One day he will learn how to spit. Maybe not as good as that, but But we reproduce what we live out. We reproduce what we say. We reproduce what we do. And this idea of parenting or having a life worth following is serious about our faith. It's not something we should take lightly. And I think that's why Moses wrote Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you want to turn over to there. We've read this before in light of being a parent. But this idea that we reproduce who we are. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." And so this instruction, then, is very important. First of all, it's action-oriented. It's not the idea, is this idea that's do as I say, not as I do. Right? Those are things we hear maybe from your parents. Don't do that. Well, you did it. Well, do as I say, not as I do. Well, that's easy and fine, but they're going to do it anyway. So it's an important instruction. It's action oriented. It's just something we just tell them to go do. It's something that we show them. It's something that we give instruction as we go along. It's very similar to what Jesus said, right? Follow me literally meant stand up, walk behind me, and watch. Watch what my mission is going to be. Watch what I'm going to do. And then I'll give you a chance to do it yourself. This is what Jesus did. And it's not rocket science. We do this every day, right? We don't just turn our kids loose on things. Right? I mean, if I were to have a washer and dryer here and a pile of clothes and a bottle of bleach and a bottle of laundry detergent and bring Maggie in and go, "All right, go," and walk away, there's a good chance I'm going to have all white clothes because I gave her a bottle of bleach. Because she doesn't know the difference, right? And she doesn't know what bleach and hopefully she doesn't hurt herself with bleach because you can. We don't do that kind of thing, right? You don't turn your kid loose with the riding lawnmower at 8 and say good luck to you and hope they don't end in the street and have a car accident. We don't do that. We don't do that with anything else. But a lot of times we do that with faith. We say, okay, I want my kid exposed to everything so they can then make their choice later. I don't want to choose for them. You know, I'll let them choose on their own. And so I'll just let them decide on their own. I've heard that conversation with many parents who don't attend church at all. Well, I don't want to impose on them, so I'll let them choose when they get older. Well, that's great, but they're going to choose whatever they want. They're going to choose maybe nothing. So we reproduce what we do, what we say. We reproduce what we do not do. I think that has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. George Barna is a guy who does surveys. They do a lot of different things. They ask lots of questions. And he does one, and this is a statement he made about one of his own surveys. It says, "Barna expresses his frustration at the trend when he states the following: I have been discouraged to discover that most American adults, including most parents, see spiritual development of children as a value-added proposition rather than the single most important aspect of a child's development." And the reality is, we abdicate a lot of our children's responsibilities, their spiritual lives, onto other people. I mean, you can grow up in the church and the only instruction you receive is what you receive at church. It's true about you as an adult. It's true about your children. Dorothy, Mike, the ones that stand in the back every other week, those are your children's instructors. And if you never talk ever, ever, ever about God with your child, guess who they're going to emulate? Dorothy and Mike. And that's not a bad thing, Mike, I promise. But that's all they get. And instead of it being, you're their instructor, and the church is just helping and guiding and supporting and doing all those things, reinforcing what is taught at home. We will reproduce what we do not do. just like we reproduce what we do. You do reproduce who you are. Who you are is what you reproduce. And ultimately, John chapter 21, I said you can turn there, will be true about your children. And I want to read this to you. It's an interaction that Peter has with Jesus. Jesus is talking to Peter. If you remember, if you know the story, Peter denied Jesus 3 times before Jesus dies. And then when Jesus is resurrected, he basically reinstates Peter kind of back with helping him understand that he's going to be okay. And he asks Peter 3 times, will you follow me? Will you love my sheep? Do you love me? Will you follow? He has this conversation. He denied him 3 times and he kind of reinstates him 3 times to make sure Peter understands the significance of what God has called him to do. And at the very end of that interaction, after Jesus has kind of singled him out, Peter turns and has this conversation with Jesus. This is in John chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, was following them. This is the one who had leaned back on Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So ultimately, your kids, my kids, the people that we have influence over, ultimately have to make this decision for themselves. This is their decision. I'm not taking that away from reality. That's true. But what they understand about following, what they understand about what it means to be a follower of Jesus comes from you. It comes from me. If they don't get it from us, they will get it somewhere else. And if we're lucky, if you don't teach it to them, they get the right teaching. And so how you live your life is significant in the life of your child, in the life of those you have influence over. And that's a daunting understanding. And this idea, like last week we talked about, this idea of following Jesus has a lot of implications to it. It's more than just saying, hey, I believe, and then showing up to church on Sunday and then having nothing else to do with it during the week. It's bigger than that. It's an everyday wake up and go, now what, Jesus? And that spills over into your children's lives. And so I had an experience this last week in Ohio. I'm trying to give Dorothy a couple more minutes before we call. The kids are going to come back in here in just a few minutes to pass out roses to the moms. But that statement that I read to you about potential, Bill had experienced at a conference down in Florida. If you don't know who Bill is, Bill is Bill Ludwig. He's one of the national our national denomination. He's one of the guys on staff there. He and I are friends. Whenever we go back, I stay at his house a lot. This last time I was over at his house, he has a man cave in his barn where you can just go into and just, you know, do man stuff. It's a man cave, right? You plug in the light pole. It's awesome. So we're back there and it's just me and him talking. And we're talking about tons of stuff. Mostly about church stuff and national church stuff and what's going on over here and our church and just what's going on and encouraging each other. Because he's planting a church again or replanting a church he planted 10 years ago in a little town in Medina, which is in Ohio. And we're talking about their church and what's going on there. But then we start talking about this conference that he went to. And he talked about this statement that I read. And I want to read it. I'll read part of it to you again. It says, within each person lies a potential movement that could change the world. Just that phrase, each person, there lies a potential movement to change the world. Change the world. And then he said, this conference speaker who said that, said, just stop for a minute and think about your kids. And I stopped and I went, it was funny, Bill and I both started crying at that moment. There's only 2 guys in the room, so it was very uncomfortable. So you had to like change the subject really fast so you could stop crying, because, you know, men don't cry in front of each other, evidently. But just in that moment, I thought of my 2 kids. And I thought about the potential movement in my children. Just my two children. I'm not counting the ones we're about to line up across the stage here in a few minutes. And each one of them lies the potential to change the world. It could be 10 people. Could be 100 people. It could be thousands of people could be changed because of your son or your daughter. And then the implications for us as parents, being the significance of us to steward that and to steward that well. And to not let that fall in somebody else's hands. And not hopefully pray that maybe somewhere, someday they might get it some way. Their friend might take them to church with you and with them and hopefully they'll pick it up then. The stakes are way too high for that. Way too high. I mean, the kingdom of God is moving and advancing. And we are players in that. And so you have the potential to change the world. You, right now. And then you have influence over people who will change the future for the kingdom of God. And I was just like, oh, okay. Tears are crying. Then Bill starts crying, and then we decide to change the subject and talk about something else. But that's just, it just very, very crazy to think that we would so easily let someone else take care of the faith of our children. And then again, takes it back to this idea that following Jesus maybe is bigger than what I thought, and maybe I should count the cost because the stakes are high, very high. So, Jesus has something for you, just like he had for Peter. It's probably different than for John. John died on an island in exile as an old man. Peter died upside down on a cross, persecuted for Jesus. They didn't have the same path, but they both had a path to take. And that's true for you, and it's true for me. We follow together as a community, and we follow as individuals. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But I wanted to bring our kids in. I'm going to let them pass out flowers to you, ladies. But then at the end, I want to pray over our children, if you guys are okay with that. Because that's a big deal. You go ahead. Thank you. And get the small children as well, if you don't mind. Get the little kids. Thank you. And just spend a few minutes in prayer. And maybe, just maybe, today you saw the realities of the stakes that are in front of us. And how you live your life in front of your children tells them a lot. You can't just use the words, you have to live them out as well. So here comes our kids. Dave, if you want to give me a hand. Dave, you want to help me out? Okay, so we're going to give a rose to all the moms, okay? Now, I know you have moms. We'll let you give them to them as well, but we're going to give them out to all the moms, okay? All right? And so, did you buy different colors for a reason? Because I'm pretty clueless about that.
I just got different colors.
But I know color matters to some people. Can you explain the color thing to me, please, somebody? White is for those who have passed away. Okay. You didn't know that, did you?
I thought those were yellow.
Those look white to me, so.
I got them because I thought they were yellow.
Okay. Are they yellow? They're yellow now? Okay. Okay, so if you would like a white-ish yellow rose, because you want one that represents your mom that might have passed away, you're welcome to have one. But if you don't really care, then just let us know, okay? So why don't we let you go ahead and pass them out to your moms first. And then, hi, buddy.
Okay, I'll give you the rose.
Here you go. Let him give you the rose. Okay, go take that to your mom.
Where the paper is.
Oh, he's going for the stage. Okay, so those who would like a red rose, please raise your hand if you did not receive one and you're a mom. Are you pointing? Okay. Did you already get one? Oh, okay. Go get that to your mom. Does it make them cuter because their legs are so short and they have to like hop up and down when they run? Okay, so take that to Miss Tanya. And if you raise your hand if you'd like a red rose. Oh, she got her first rose. That's so sweet. Makes me want to cry. Okay, red rose over here.
Okay, I'll get that one.
You want a red rose? Yes. Yes, we're going to do that. If you'd like a red one right now, we're going to do red ones first. No, no, we need to give them to women only. Yes. Okay. All right, anybody else want a red rose? We got over there, Maggie. Miss.
Over there, too. Over there.
Where?
Go down the outside aisle. They'll raise their hand. Does anybody want a white rose? Anyone want a white rose? We have a handful of white roses? Okay. Who let our kid go? Okay, red, white rose, okay. Do we get all the reds? Did anybody not get a red that wanted a red? You got two more reds?
Okay, I don't want to get poked again.
Oh, goodness.
I got
poked. Here, you're okay. Who wants to take it? Who want a white rose? Take it to, right here, Miss Jeannie. Take a red rose. Red rose, any more red roses back there? Right there, okay, we got two more right back there. Just bring him back at the end, okay? Okay, any more white roses? Right, we got one, two, three white roses. To Mr. One. Bring it to Mr. One. Okay, anybody else? A white rose that I didn't see? Okay, there's one more. Okay, I think, is there any more with white? I think she's got the white one. Wait, do you need one more?
Here.
Okay, take that to Miss Jen. Okay. All right. So, she did get one. We did. Okay, so we have some extras. You guys are more than welcome. As far as they'll go, you can come and take them to your mothers and or however you want to handle that. So wait, let's not sit down though. Let's everybody come here. Hey Beth.
Well, because we're getting all the mummies one, now we can get one of the ladies that aren't mummies.
Okay. So we want to pray for our kids. Do you wanna bring your little one down here? Yes, I'm right here. You're gonna scream the whole time, I'm pretty sure. No. Wow, don't hit me. I'll go over here. All right, listen, guys. Here's what we're going to do. We want to pray for you. Okay, for the children. Okay, we're going to pray for you guys right now. All right? So, everybody just going to close their eyes. And we're going to pray. Okay. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for our children. Father, I pray you give us as parents and as family members who are committed to raising up our children, Father, that we would live a life in front of them that is worthy of following, to be followed, Father, that we follow after you so they can follow after us. God, we thank you for our mothers today, those who are here and those who have gone to be with you. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless them today, and we thank you for the influence they have in our life. And God, I pray more than anything that we would live a life worthy of being followed. God, we pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So our worship team is going to come and we're going to lead us in a song. And my kid's going to go somewhere so he doesn't scream.